At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Wednesday, race fans, literally breathless, putting dotting the final I's and crossing the T's on today's show. Some last minute arrangements because, of course, later this morning, we'll be listening in 11:30 to the pre-entry announcement, and if I'm not mistaken, they get all the races in the half hour. So by the time we're wrapping up, we'll have fields. So in fact, it was just going back and forth with Jim Gluckson, and Jim in a pivotal spot, and one of the stories I was hoping to get Jim on, he's tied in, you know, getting ready for the 11:30, but important news yesterday out of Breeders' Cup regarding the owners and breeders that are involved in Cup and the specifics of attendance, and I'm sure that there'll be some people that are you know, delighted to be able to be in attendance for Breeders' Cup, and I'll get into this. There's some interesting numbers involved. It feels like there'll be, you know, a few thousand on hand, it would appear, when you add everything in. And of course, you know, it's a sizable facility, but owners and breeders and the individual numbers, you know, per horse, expecting 150 horses and maybe 1,000 there. The suggestion was that there'd be about 1,000 owners and breeders represented on the grounds each day. And, you know, then you fold in, you know, fold in the barn staff and the handful of media in attendance. And I saw it earlier, and now I'm looking back, and I can't find the specific. There it is. Each horse, 6 seats on behalf of the owners each day, and the ownership group will make those decisions, and the breeder of each horse, and of course the breeders, you know, pay the nomination fees when their horses a baby. They get 4 seats for the day the horse is entered. So there's the overview. All right, and we'll get more as we get, you know, next week, particularly when we're on hand at Keeneland. They got a hat full of stuff, obviously, and you know, no sooner do we get off the air yesterday after we had a productive conversation with Dr. Alday explaining betamethasone and horsemen dealing with inflammations and you know, the medication therapeutic programs, does another Baffert trained horse come you know, under scrutiny and test positive. And later, don't have too many details to flesh out right now. Alan Foreman will join us around 11. And I'll let Alan handle this in terms of what dextromethorphan does and what its issues are, because it's been a well documented, especially the last couple of years. There's been, I wouldn't call them high profile, but there's been very contested and actually very interesting results involving dextromethorphan. And Mary Epler had a, thinking, I don't know, four years ago, Mary Epler fought about a dextromethorphan positive. And in 4 decades of training, Mary Epler has had exactly two issues that cropped up ever. And she was, you know, really aggressive in the way Graham Motion has been aggressive, and you know, in pushing back against this particular, you know, this one product that is most typically found in cough syrups and cough suppressants. And there was also, just a couple of years ago, I would say either last year or the year before, there was the one in Kentucky where, and we talked about it. In fact, I think Mary Scalay visited and we talked about it. And I know we covered that particular KHRC finding, because they essentially, you know, tossed them out. At the time, so the dealings with dextromethorphan itself is one part of the story, and then there's the other half, which is this just unacceptable and you know, impossible to, you know, simply explain away involving the Baffert Barn. And as we said with Jay on Friday and with Chuck Simon Monday, didn't really talk that issue with Dr. Alday yesterday, just wanted him to explain what horsemen are dealing with when it comes to, you know, using the legal therapeutic medications. But the problem here specifically is that, you know, these, you know, potential and alleged contaminations, they begin to, more than begin, I mean, they strain credibility. And it just, it you know, I thought, you know, Jay said it well on Friday. There can't be any more of this. I mean, period. And the thing that's interesting about dextromethorphan is that it as a classification, it's treated innocuously, and it's looked at as an innocuous issue. But the penalty side of it, it's what's notable is the penalty side is distinct, and the penalty side of it is, you know, more severe than the way it's classified. Essentially, because it's just not something that finds its way into a horse. There's no practical application, and those kinds of products and those kinds of things that test, they get treated with, you know, more, you know, serious penalties in terms of suspension and fine and vacating purses and wins, etc. But it just, you know, there's just too many. It just doesn't makes it just difficult to believe and accept. So we'll get Alan in hour three, and he'll talk about the backstory involving this particular product. And in fact, while we have Alan, there was the timing actually to have Alan is perfect, because yesterday the strategic plan, the Mid-Atlantic plan, you know, that Alan has talked about extensively, they had a extensive press release about the tightening of restrictions for clenbuterol, and this is something they've been, you know, aggressive about, and everybody has gotten aggressive about on that. So Alan Foreman, top of hour three, ahead of the pre-entry announcement. Bill Downs will be in second hour. We'll look at today's action at Indiana, and a nice set of stakes. The Indiana bred sequence that fills out most of the pick five. There is a two-year-old maiden race that is immersed in the sequence, the second leg. But there's a nice run of stakes and a fun sequence today for the pick five. We'll go over some pick five stuff with Bill, too. Yesterday actually, very approachable, paid $600 with no major surprises. On Monday, 2,000, but there was a tough horse to come up with. There was a very tough horse to come up with on the Monday sequence. So Bill Downs later. Kieran McLaughlin, as promised, and yesterday, of course, Nick Zito with his BC moments, as we're calling them. And we were trying yesterday to appreciate the, you know, the exact anniversary, the 13-year anniversary yesterday of the Breeders' Cup at Monmouth. And so, you know, Nick filled in on that for War Pass's big win in the juvenile. But the other anniversary yesterday, that, and we'll talk about it obviously with Kieran, was Le Houdoud on October 27th. So we'll obviously, with Kieran, we'll also talk about his other significant efforts in the Breeders' Cup. So we'll talk about Invasor and the year before, and who do we say the other one was? Tamarcuz. There's three. Kieran with three Breeders' Cup wins. So Breeders' Cup moments, and these sprang up, started on Monday with Mig, which was really fun. That was particularly fun with Mig. And I'm just checking because I didn't look to see if it's funny, the weekends that, you know, there's essentially been what, three weekends that the Breeders' Cup has run. The last weekend in October, or the first two weekends of November. And you know, this is as late as you're going to get it, obviously. But I don't, it's funny, I don't think, as I'm looking through here, I don't, they ran the last, and tomorrow, the last Belmont Breeders' Cup in 2005. That was on the 29th. And but I don't see that. I don't see that there was ever, not that I can, at least before, from 2012 or before, I don't see. Yeah, I don't think there was necessarily one on ever on. I'll check a couple of other sources. My, you know, these guides, the Derby guide and the Breeders' Cup guides, you know, now it's all gone online, which is fine, except it's not as, you know, it's not as resourceful. It's not as tactile as having the book, you know, and having you know, the big old-fashioned media guide. So I think the last one, and the one I'm holding, was from 2012. And then in 2013, it went online. So I've got, you know, I've got the Breeders' Cup media guide in one place. And this thing is treasured. And when it comes to Derby, I think the same year, actually. I think 2012 was the last year of the Derby printed media guide. Otherwise, it's been, you know, it's all online. So I don't know. I don't know if we can. I don't know if they'll ever. I guess there's no going back, right, to a printed media guide. Anyway, Kieran's going to join us hour two, and we'll also get an update from him on life away from the barn in the mornings, and that seemingly going really well, obviously, for him and Luis Saez. We'll get a line on Saez's Breeders' Cup mounts. You know, as of later today, we'll be able to start to sift through, and you'll go through the 14 races and start to get a feel. So Kieran McLaughlin. Seth will be with us, obviously. He's always with us on the Wednesday for the Breeders' Cup announcement, so he sits in. And Pete, we'll get Pete Fornatale, and we're supposed to hear from Nicole as well. So... Nicole Russo, who's been, she's been busy. I mean, obviously between her regular DRF responsibilities, and I know she was putting together, they'll have a November breeding sale, you know, bloodstock sale, guide, coming out. But I did want her to, she's the one, we didn't talk to Brad Free yet, but, she was the queen. We kind of knew who the principals were in the distaff. That was not a surprise category. But the two turf sprints, I really wanted her to walk through with us. So hoping we can get Nicole, and I was going to have her do some of the sale news and yesterday's results, big $560,000 quality road colt, the sibling to Gretzky the Great and Aaron Wellman. Eclipse Thoroughbred Partners buys the quality road colt. Anderson Farms, this was this Jessica Martini, this is the colt that she mentioned yesterday. As one of the hips to watch, came fairly early in the day, hip 498, and there was that other quality road she mentioned that was a filly out of Moonlight Sky, Claiborne product, and Knight's Bloodstock paid $230 for that filly. So quality road, both a male and a female lead the sales results yesterday, day two at Phasic October. Total numbers. The numbers are, again, it was a kind of a solid day. And in fact, we talked back and forth with Scott Pierce, and Scott's selling some. And he said that, you know, it's really the same scenario that just keeps, you know, kind of playing on repeat, which is, you know, if you've got the pedigree and you've got the physical, you're gonna sell well. Anything with blemish is problematic and just isn't turning over. And you know, if you have options, if you can put one into training and sell it as a 2-year-old, or if you want to take it home and prepare it, you know, to race. I mean, it all depends on everybody's wherewithal. And you know, that's not a new storyline. So, two more days, today and tomorrow, and then the yearling market, done for 2020. A couple of other notes out of here. In case we don't talk to Nicole, another pair of nice sellers for not this time. Mike Ryan bought one, HIP 612, Trackside Farm. Tom Evans, $180,000 for this one out of Red Bottoms. And there was a not this time that the Team Cassie bought for $170,000, a Colt, out of Pop Singer. And this one came with a name. Stuart Morris consigned. They slapped the name Scat Time, which is kind of cute. Pop Singer, not this time. Maybe you keep that name. That's sometimes the names come and you cringe and you change. When we got Awesome Chasm, she had come with a name already when she was like a weanling. They had named her Zoom Zoom Zinger, which I don't want to insult the breeder, who's very nice, but we dispatched that real quick. her dam was Aussable, so we just added the chasm and turned it into the famed landmark, which, if you've never been, between here and Montreal, Aussable Chasm, a wonderful trip. You can tie it into a trip to Lake Placid. A couple of Nyquists were sold as well. Vince Foglia bought a filly out of Richie Girl Gone Wild. Remember her? $170,000, and there was also there was actually one of the funnier. One of the funnier things that happened yesterday, I saw that Sid tweeted about it. The other Nyquist, which was a colt, for $150,000, Anderson Farms, who had the Gretzky the Great sibling that led the day. But the tickets, there's very frequently some games played when it comes to signing tickets, and you'll see goofy names. The other day, actually, I didn't see anybody had picked it up. Somebody signed the ticket, Antoine Randall L., but they didn't spell it the way, the retired receiver, the way he actually spelled it. So you knew that it was phony. But Abe Froman, the Sausage King of Chicago. Yeah. HIP 609 for $150,000, Nyquist out of Reason, and it just makes you laugh. There's also somebody, that signs as Gus McCray, and I've always wanted to find out, from Lonesome Dove, and I haven't seen it. Well, I think I might have seen it. Maybe last year, but somebody has signed as Augustus McCray a number of times. So the sausage king of Chicago, active at at Phasing yesterday, pretty good. Otherwise, it was interesting. Some of those siblings that we had mentioned yesterday, and one that I did not check, how the reinvestment risk sold, and I'll have to look that one up. So I don't know if we're going to get to Nicole. She's been elusive, but solid day again yesterday at Phasing. So, and I'll look at the, I haven't looked really at the today's, some of today's sibling. If I look quickly, I see that there's a Candy Ride filly. That's out of Icebox's dam. So I have to Icebox. Talked to Nick yesterday. There's a Mohaman colt today, HIP 844, got Stormy's brother. Nice. And the Jackie's Warrior today that Hill and Dale is going to sell. And Hill and Dale's got some very notable babies going through today. And this is the Jackie's Warrior half by Candy Ride, Philly. That's about mid part of the sale today, $9.85. And those, yeah, there you go. There's the most easily noticeable names. And it's actually a Gunrunner. There's a Gunrunner brother to Pretty and Cool. She was nice. And an Honor Code Colt, who's a brother of Cyber Secret. So, Lynn Whiting. The late, great Lynn Whiting, right? Cyber Secret for Mr. Sella, if I'm not mistaken. And I think a Pennsylvania bred Cyber Secret. Slip that in. So, there you go. A couple of other pedigree or sale type news and notes from yesterday. There was a deal made for Gunavera after we had mentioned the other day that he was retiring, and Pleasant Acres. He kind of figured that he would end up in Florida. That made plenty of sense, obviously, and he'll go to Pleasant Acres, $6,000. The son had dialed in. Gunavera. I saw that Higher Power as well will slip Higher Power in. And after he wraps up, of course, getting readying for the classic, Higher Power is going to go to Darby Dan. And he'll stand for $10,000. Starting next year. Higher Power. And there was one more. Not a stallion deal, but Giant Expectations retired. And he came up a couple of weeks, last week, I think, about the New York bred that would have to go back and forth from California. We were getting ready for the showcase day, the Empire Showcase, and we're thinking about Giant Expectations. Made $1.3 million. Won the Pat O'Brien. Won the San Antonio. Faced a lot of good ones, and kind of a fun horse. We talked many times to Peter Hurton about Giant Expectations. Ran parts of 5 years. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Giant Expectations. Frost Giant. And in fact, it may have been, if Frost Giant had that splashy, was that his first crop? Remember when Frost Giant had that splashy start? And they're hoping to make a stallion arrangement for him. And he's available for viewing. And Peter, you know what? When we get a chance to talk to Peter after Breeders' Cup, we'll, so anybody coming to Kentucky. There is one other story before we take the break. Pete Fornital is going to join us next. The news that coming out of the Santa Anita season, and a lot of appreciation for how safe and the way things went. Being very much celebrated by, everybody that contributed. The one proviso, because I see a lot of you see a lot of conversation about, why isn't the media covering this? You got to be very careful. We've learned over the last 10 years, you got to be very careful. You cannot make this kind of achievement internally and amongst, the owners and the horsemen and the staff and the supervisory veterinarians, the regulatory vets, and everybody, that contributes to a success like this. Everybody can be very proud of themselves, management, everybody. But you cannot use this as some sort of a marketing gimmick or as a, look at what we did. You can't do it because you're inviting disaster. You're courting disaster doing this because, as we know from the variety of spates of incidents, there are mitigating factors that are out of a lot of control. And so you just don't tempt fate. It's not, everybody can feel great about making this happen and, and you say a quiet say a quiet prayer to yourself and you move on and you hope that you can do it again and that you can do it, wherever, every single meet at every single venue. But trying to market it is ill-advised just because you don't know when, no matter how cautious, you don't know when conditions are going to shift and it's chaotic number theory. For those that are roulette players, if you spin the wheel 10,000 times, the numbers come up spread out evenly. In a short burst, you might get one number four times. There's too many moving parts on this topic. So, Case, I guess we'll stay and we'll just take a top of the hour break before Kieran joins us. And so we can reach for Pete. I want him to talk about what we talked to Ed DeRosa about. And we'll get a daily Breeders' Cup prep and approach conversation in. Want to have that as much as possible before we start to handicap in earnest. While we wait for Pete, I'll slip in also a couple of spots today. I know Ed gave you a snowman in the sixth today at Churchill. The seventh's interesting. It's and I checked the weather. It doesn't look like they've gotten or getting more rain today. But mile and a 16th maiden on the grass, and there's a very notable pedigree in here. If he's ready, American Patrol, an American Pharaoh for Judmont out of Soothing Touch. And of course, emollient fans will recognize that name. Hofburg fans. Yeah. Sibling, of Hofburg and Courtier and emollient. American Patrol and nice string of works preparing. Nice, has been at Churchill really straight through since the summer. Our friend Lee Einsiedler's horse is in here again, too. Repo Rocks, who tried to get on the grass at Saratoga, and it got rained off. But repo in here, too, for Bill Mott and for Lee. But American Patrol, 8-1. There's also Laker Mamba for Gary Barber and Mark Cassie, 3-1. Second start, tried to get on the grass, but it got rained off in September. Laker Mamba, a Nyquist out of the Unbridled Songmare, Disturbingly Hot. This is a half to Jerome Avenue and Gotta Go. So, and also Ian Wilkes on the rail, Incitatus. This is a half to Gentle Ruler, the nice stakes runner. This is an Ironicus colt. And has been just okay, has been kind of just got to step it up a little bit. Has been 5th, 8th, 7th, beaten 4, 5, and 4. So I don't know what Dean's going to do to shake up Incitatus, but that's another player. 5-1. Dale's got Lomo for Pacella Jones and Partners, and this is an Uncle Mo out of the nice C.S. Royce of Dale's that the partners, Frank Shoup, involved in this too. They campaigned C.S. Royce together. So this is the two-year-old colt. Also tried to get on the grass in that same race as Laker Mamba. So nice group of maidens. Looks like there might be something, might be some things to consider. And there's also a 1 3/8 grass allowance for fillies and mares. Goes as the 9th today at Churchill. So some good between Indiana and Churchill. Then Belmont comes back tomorrow. We'll talk to Bill Downs next hour. Pete Fornatale joining us now. Pete, good morning.
Good morning to you, my friend. How are things?
Not so bad. Not so bad. We'd like to break this chain of wet weather, and after a great summer and lots of turf, and we've hit a little bit of a skid here, but hopefully we can still get a few more weeks or got a certain style as a rider. And one thing I think he does better than anybody is right on the lead and then just completely gut the field on the turn and make everybody panic and chase. I he does that as well as anybody I think I've ever seen.
Yeah, I agree with that. He does, they seem to relax for him on the lead. He always has horse left, but it's great that most of the time he breaks sharp and puts them in the game.
Mean Mary, in fact, there's an example for a turf player. I know that Todd. We talked to Todd around the time that Halliday was ended up having to miss the assignment. Was that it? That was at Keeneland, right? For the
Chadwell Mile.
He's doing okay?
Yeah, he's doing well. He worked well a couple of times since then. So he's, all is well right now. And it was just the way it goes in our business. We kind of went there for Halliday in the Chadwell Mile. He didn't make it. And we won 5 other graded stakes. So it was just fabulous.
Unbelievable.
Weekend.
That's pretty funny. Yeah. Well, this is really a hell of a lineup. Maximum Security, Halliday, Mean Mary, Serengeti Empress Leinster, CZ Rocket, Amanzi Yimplio, the two juveniles. You won't be surprised at all if you sweep the juvenile races, Essential Quality and Simply Ravishing.
Yeah, it's just very hard to win one race. And we don't want to get greedy, and he's not yet won a Breeders' Cup race. So one win over the weekend would be great. Anything after that would be gravy.
Well, you mentioned Chadwell, and until I prepared to talk to you about your BC moments, it had never occurred to me that your 3 Breeders' Cup wins were all for Chadwell.
I know. It's very interesting. We would have loved to win others for other people, but it was all 3 are Chadwell. colors were on all three, and it's a very great relationship over 25 years that we had together. So it was very rewarding for all of us on the team, McLaughlin team, to win three races for Hamdan and Shadwell. So we wish we would have won for other people, but it's great that we won those three for Shadwell.
Yesterday was the 13th anniversary of Lahoudoud's win, and that was one certainly that came as a surprise. I had suggested, I thought in fact that she was even a longer price than she was, but when I pulled up the chart, she was 12-1. You know, talk about that win, and you'd had her since probably the spring. She must have come to you that year.
Yes, and it was, the weather was unbelievable. Never in America would we have run on a turf with that much rain. And I remember talking to the racing manager in England, and he said he didn't think she liked it yielding or real soft. And I said, well, we're here now. And I spoke to Rick Nichols with Shadwell, and he said, let's lead her over there. We're ready now. It's our last race. So I give him credit for trying to ask me to get in the Garden City or the Flower Bowl before the Grade 1 at Belmont, and we got in that way, and she won that and then went on to win the Breeders' Cup. But it was terrible conditions, but it worked out well for it.
And I didn't watch the replay yesterday. No, Alan Garcia had her, but didn't she come up the inside?
Yeah, that's a good question. Yes, she did, and Alan Garcia did ride her, yes.
I just remember her sneaking up, and she got by Rosinka and wait a while for Todd, and she wins 12-1. And of course, before we talk Invisor, we're going to listen to Invisor's win as well. But talk about the advent, Kieran, for you when it came to getting horses ready, and how Breeders' Cup. From the time you first started in on the business and working for Dwayne, and how you approached the year end opportunity.
Yes, it's very important, and over the years you would learn to point for the Breeders' Cup and work yourself backwards and make sure you had proper timing for your horses to give them their best chance to win. And then certain things would happen, and you'd miss some time for different reasons, like Halliday this year for Todd. Similarly, I had it happen with Invisor. He missed his final prep, and it was 3 months in between starts, not ideal. So you always have to be ready for Plan A, Plan B, and Plan C, and sometimes no plan. You just have to go and hope for the best. But we always tried to point for Breeders' Cup, give them their best chance to back up from there, whether it was a 3-week prep or a 6-week prep, and hope for the best.
How much, and the your Shadwell Association and also Godolphin makes me wonder how much of the planning and how much of a focus as well is it, we know that, certainly both operations will send international, some of their international horses over as well. But for Sheikh Mohammed and for Sheikh Hamdan, how did they view the Breeders' Cup opportunities?
Well, that was what you pointed for every year with them. As the Kentucky Derby is huge, and the Breeders' Cup is huge, and Grade One wins are so important. Championship honors are so important. So everybody in the industry is pointing that way. But certainly the Mocktums to make stallions, and they had their eyes on those big days for sure.
And I'm just looking at, I think. Was it Dumani that was your first Breeders' Cup starter?
That's a good question, but most likely, yes. Back in, 95, 96?
96. And then Soviet Line in 97.
Yes, yeah. Dumani won the Shadwell Mile back-to-back years with Julie Crone, but it wasn't the Chadwell Mile then. It was the Breeders' Cup Prep, a Kingland Breeders' Cup race. I'm not sure the name of it.
Now, and then, I mean, as the century turned, you started to have a parade. And, you know, it's interesting. You had a lot of turf starters early on, and then, you know, then some very nice juveniles. And I don't want to talk about, you know, a frustrating start or a Breeders' Cup disappointment, but I will mention one horse that I always loved, and that was Henny Hughes. And you know, that Breeders' Cup sprint, it's a race that there's just everything has to go perfect. And if ever you'd like to have had one over, I'm sure it was Henny in that sprint.
Yeah, he just had a bad day and didn't show up, really. Nothing went right for us there. We were kind of just surprised, and it didn't work out. But a few hours later, we were happy again with him before.
Well, and he had a terrible start, right? I mean, he just break flat-footed?
Yeah, he didn't break, and he just wasn't. I don't know what happened on the day. He just wasn't himself that day. We were, you know, we were scratching our head afterwards.
Well, the good Henny, the good Henny beats that field, and I had forgotten actually that he was second in the juvenile the year before.
Yes, and that's when we received him, just like 3 weeks before the Breeders' Cup juvenile when he was two, from Patrick Biancone, Sheikh Rashid. Sheikh Mohammed's oldest son had purchased him and left him with Patrick, and then we picked him up just before the Breeders' Cup and finished second, and then he went back to Dubai, and then we brought him back the next summer.
Talk about Invasor. We're going to listen to the call, but you know, I'm sure if there was a way for us to, I don't know if we've got too much of our 2006. The 2006 editions of the show are on DVDs or CDs from you know, back then, and you know, Casey's got some of them, but some have also been lost. And you and I, Kieran, I can remember, you know, we talked so many times as Invasor's season was unfolding, you know, including his bursting on the scene in the Pimlico Special.
Yes, it was a very special horse, and we took him to Dubai, and it didn't go great there, and came back to the Pimlico Special. And again, I give Rick Nichols credit. We were going to run in a lesser race, and he said, "Why don't we try the big race and see where we stand?" And I thought it was going to be too tough, but Ramon Dominguez rode him that day, and we won, and we kept winning from then on. And Ramon had to take off of him in the Suburban the next race, and that's when Fernando Jara got on him, because he won on Jazzle the Belmont like 3 weeks before that. It was like June 10th to July 1st. And so I spoke to Rick about, we need a jockey because Ramon has to go to California for the American Oaks. And he said, "Well, what's wrong with Fernando Jara?" I said, "Okay, great, we'll do that." So Fernando got lucky and got on him and went on and won every time he rode him after that.
That included, of course, the Suburban, then the Whitney win, which was an absolute thriller. And yesterday Nick Zito was on, Kieran, and if Nick is listening now, he's kicking the cat over Invasor, because every time Invasor was winning big races, he was beating Nick.
Yes, it was a very close one at Saratoga. It was a close photo. That might have been the closest race.
By Sun King. The Sun King, exactly, by a nose, and you had beaten Wild Desert and Andromeda's Hero in the Suburban, and Wandering Boy in the Pimlico Special. Crazy. Then came the Whitney. After the Whitney came the Breeders' Cup, and you know, talk about the preparations between Saratoga, and you mentioned that you missed the prep for
the Jockey Gold Cup. I think
yeah,
the point for the Jockey Gold Cup, and it was that week. He spiked the temperature, and it was luckily it wasn't terrible, but it was just terrible timing. It was like Monday, Tuesday of the race week, and we had to treat him and miss the race, so we had to change our tactics and train a little bit more aggressively and further, and he showed up anyway. It didn't matter. He was just that good a horse. He overcame, probably us training him and having hiccups here and there, but he was a great horse, and he overcame a lot to win the Breeders' Cup off of, I think, 3 months off.
Well, and there, it was, where was the incident, Kieran, that's going to pop in my head at the top of the stretch where he went bouncing off the rail and clipped heels and was that later?
Yeah,
was that
the Don?
That was the Don. Okay.
Don, yes. I was with Aaron, my daughter, standing in the grandstand. I said, whoops, we won't be able to win this one from there after that. Boom. And then here he came again. He was an amazing horse and great memories.
Well, this, for those that don't remember the field and the storyline, despite Invasor coming in, with a string of wins, the likes of, three grade ones in a row into the Classic, he's going to go off at almost 7-1. And the matchup of Shadwell versus Godolphin, or I think he was wearing the maroon, so it was Darley at the time, if I'm not mistaken, with Bernardini. Talk about that part of it, Kieran. I don't think we've ever talked about the brothers facing off.
Yeah, the brothers face off daily around the world.
Sure.
And they're very, very close, but there's still competitiveness between them all, and they root for each other. But it was an unbelievable race to win that race for Sheikh Hamdan, beating Bernardini. And it was just unbelievable. And everybody was happy. Even Sheikh Mohammed's sons were in the winner's circle. And they represented Sheikh Hamdan there at Churchill. So it was kind of neat. And I was lucky to be able to keep training for Godolphin after beating Bernardini, because he was worth so much as a stallion.
That field, and I'm just looking at the chart now, and there's one horse that was in this, and it makes me remember that goofy advertising campaign. They were trying to make it Bernardini versus Lava Man. Do you remember that? That was a they were trying to create like a boxer, kind of a scenario, and it seemed unnecessary putting together, a 12-horse, 13-horse field, considering Giacomo was in there and Premium Tap and George Washington came over, Lawyer Ron. You mentioned Sun King, Flower Alley was in this, trying to defend. There was a lot of quality to this field.
Yes, but whatever they were trying to do, it helps our business with promoting, and they were trying to make it an East Coast, West Coast, but they just had the wrong horse.
Exactly. Not to take away from Tommy Alpertrani and Bernardini's terrific career. Some thoughts, coming back to Churchill as well. I mean, that had to be kind of nice for you that, Keeneland obviously wasn't in the mix as a Breeders' Cup site, but the opportunity to run more, obviously more than just him, as you mentioned, but talk about for you coming to Kentucky and the chance to win.
Yeah, it was great. Back then it was fabulous. I mean, the biggest win of my training career was Invasor in the World Cup in Dubai because of Sheikh Hamdan being there. And so we were able to take him back there after winning the Breeders' Cup Classic and the Don Handicap. And for him to be on the couch watching him win there, and me and my family spending 10 years there you know, living there. It was just a fabulous win. So he's a very special horse.
Well, you know, of course, winning this race at Churchill, too, a certain amount of pleasure, you know, having come so close the year before in the Derby with Closing Argument. And so getting, you know, what is, I mean, the Breeders' Cup Classic anywhere, but at Churchill and, knowing how, you know, how big these kinds of opportunities are, makes it. You know, makes it special. We're going to listen to the 2006 Breeders' Cup Classic at Churchill Downs, November 4th, 2006. Fernando Jara aboard Invisor for Kieran McLaughlin and Shadwell.
There's the roar from the Churchill Downs crowd as the Breeders' Cup Classic field set on their way. And Lawyer Ron in the white in the middle immediately sprints to the lead. Lava Man is right there. Bernardini came away beautiful, and Brother Derek's taken a stronghold down at the rail. Alongside of him comes Premium Tap. There couldn't be much more speed on early here on the outside. Here's Flower Alley keeping them on as Bernardini's pedal down in the sixth spot now, been followed by George Washington to the rail, six off the leaders. Invasur is racing alongside a Swan.